Grace, mercy, and peace are yours because you're prepared. You're ready. We humbly stand before our Lord and our Savior and our King, and we rejoice in all the things that He does to get ready for your salvation. As you and I prepare for the arrival of our Lord and our Savior, we turn our attention back to our first lesson for this morning, taken from Malachi chapter 3. You and I do that because Advent means that the Lord is coming. But you already knew that. You've been through enough Advent seasons to know that while the world is busy saying that right now is Christmas time, right now is the time to get ready, right now is the time to think about what your Savior is going to do, and once we get done with December 25th and we're all done and you move on to the next thing, you and I understand that these weeks help us to prepare, help us to get ready. And even though, true, it is beginning to look a lot like Christmas, you and I are being reminded that all of these things and all of these plans and all of this process is getting us ready so that when Jesus comes, we don't stop worshiping. We start. And we rejoice in what our Lord and our Savior has done for us. The reason we can do that is because we learn from Malachi chapter 3 that things are about to change. We don't, but we will, because He doesn't. And Malachi makes all of that clear. Things are about to change. And yet you and I take a good and hard look at ourselves and we have to say, but we don't. We don't change. What you and I do and say and think is consistently and always against our Lord and our God, which is why Malachi says, but who can endure the day when He comes? Who will remain standing when He appears? Sinners have been standing before God ever since the Garden of Eden. And maybe I should say sinners have been standing up to God ever since the Garden of Eden. Sinners have been trying to stand up to Him ever since you and I watched Adam very quickly go from praising God for the gift of his wife to blaming God for all of the problems that just happened. It's all his fault. You're the one who put the tree there. You're the one who gave this woman to me. It's all God's fault. And we've been doing it ever since. Remember the last time you said, why me? Why did this happen to me? Why do I have to go through this difficulty? Why did I have to lose the job? Why did my loved one have to get sick? Why do I have to go to this funeral? It's all God's fault. Sinners have been standing up against Him, trying to stand on their own merits and their own ideas and trying to convince God that He really ought to be listening to me instead of the other way around. Just as sinners have been standing up to God ever since sin entered this world, we've also been watching sinners fall before God. For every time sin comes into the presence of the Holy God, the pages are filled with people who hit the ground. And we are reminded that those who stand in rebellion, those who want nothing to do with God, who are attempting to stand before Him and think that we're going to be able to endure all of this because of what a great guy I am, will also fall before the Holy God. Will be unable to stand. They'll still be mad. They'll still be frustrated. They'll still think that God is unreasonable. But they'll have to admit, He's God. He's the Lord. I'm not. Malachi lists all kinds of sins that remind you and me of how many times we've tried to stand up to God. All the sins that you and I do because we think this is what we want to do, and all the sins we've been justifying in our own minds as to why it's okay. God says, I will approach you to judge you. I will be quick to give testimony against those who practice occult arts, those who commit adultery, those who swear false oaths, those who cheat workers out of their wages, those who wrong a widow and a fatherless child, those who turn away a resident alien, all those who do not fear me, says the Lord of armies. That pretty much covers all of the Ten Commandments. All the expectations that God has for His creation, all the things that the Holy God expects His creation, who are supposed to be holy, who are supposed to be serving Him, who are supposed to be honoring Him, giving Him praise and glory and not backtalk. And yet these are all the things that we do. This list and many more that we could add are all summarized by that last phrase, those who do not fear me. No wonder when the judge comes, the holy God will be quick to point out the sin, the error, the faults. Will be quick to point out all those things that cannot stand in His holy presence. Things are about to change, but we don't. Even though we know all these things, we still struggle with our sin. We still struggle with our own arrogance and our own pride and our own selfishness. We still struggle with all these things, but things are about to change. We will. Not because of who I am, but because of my messenger. Look, I am sending my messenger. He will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord whom you are seeking will come into His temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight will surely come, says the Lord of armies. Things are about to change. We will. The Lord through His prophet Malachi reminds us that my messenger is on the way. Malachi is responding to a question that was asked right before this lesson, right at the end of chapter 2, when all of the people were wondering, so where is this God of justice? Malachi is dealing with people who are roughly 100 years or so after returning from the exile, who are still struggling to rebuild, and who are now beginning to revert back to the same old sins that caused the exile to begin with. They weren't changing. Still stuck in their sins. When Malachi looks ahead to the very same one that Isaiah referred to and the one that we learned about in our gospel, my messenger is going to come, and John the Baptist arrives in the wilderness, and my messenger is busy pointing ahead. There is one who is coming. My messenger, God says, is going to point to the messenger of the covenant. And you remember what John said. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the messenger of the covenant is coming. Things are about to change because Jesus steps into this world. He comes. He could have just said, forget it. He could have just stayed away. But He comes. And look at what He does. For He will be like a refiner's fire, like launderer's bleach. He will be seated like a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and like silver. They will belong to the Lord and bring Him an offering in righteousness. Judah and Jerusalem's offerings will be pleasing to the Lord as they were in the days of old, in years long ago. Things are about to change. We will, because Jesus comes. Jesus comes and He steps into this creation. Malachi looks to everything that Jesus did. He sees His first coming and His second coming all kind of rolled in together. And everything that Jesus accomplishes now means you are purified. All the sin, all the stain, all the times I stood up and shook my fist at God because He wasn't listening to me, all of that has been taken away. All the impurities are gone. You and I are purified by our Lord and our Savior. Things are about to change. And all the things that would have kept us out of God's heaven, all the things that would have kept us away from our holy Lord have been removed and taken to the cross, and they were all burned away in the fires of hell, and that's why Jesus can say, it's finished. He refines us. You are declared to be pure because of the work of your Lord and your Savior. And now He continues to come in His Word. He comes to you in His sacraments. And He continues to refine. We get to praise our Lord and our God. We get to thank Him. We get to come to our Lord, not in defiance, but in praise. We get to come not in fear and in trembling, but with joy and eagerness. Because of all the things that our Lord and our Savior has done, things are about to change. We will. We belong to the Lord. No longer possessions of Satan and no longer enemies. We belong to our Lord and our God. We've been purchased by the blood of our Savior. And now we are heirs of the glories of heaven. Now all the things that we give are those righteous offerings. Just like it had been the last when people were praising and honoring their Lord and our God. Malachi wants them to go back to the good old days when they remembered their Lord and gave Him the praise and the honor. God makes that happen again. in all the things that we do, in all the things that we say, in all the gifts that we give. God loves. He accepts them. Because you and I belong to Him. Things are about to change. We will. All because of our Lord and because of our Savior. A number of years back, our pastor's conference was working through all of these minor prophets. And Pastor Hefty, you remember him, who had been serving over in Bangor, had the one on Malachi. And he had this story in his paper. He says, "The story is told of a woman who wanted to more fully understand this imagery of refining precious metals by fire. She called a silversmith and made an appointment to watch him at work. As she watched the silversmith, he held a piece of the silver over the fire and let it heat up. He explained that in refining silver, one needed to hold the silver in the middle of the fire where the flames were hottest to burn away all the impurities. She asked the silversmith if it was true that he had to sit there in front of the fire the whole time the silver was being refined. The man answered, yes. He not only had to sit there holding the silver, but he had to keep his eyes on the silver the entire time it was in the fire. If the silver was left a moment too long in the flames, it would be destroyed. She asked the silversmith, how do you know when the silver is fully refined? He smiled and said, oh, that's easy. When I see my image in it. God looks at you, and guess what He sees? He sees His image. Refined, purified, wrapped in the blood of Christ, ready for His arrival, ready to praise and to honor and to glorify Him, because even though we maybe don't like it when we feel like we're held to the fire, all the impurity is burned away. All gone because of our Lord and our Savior. Things are about to change, and God looks at you and He sees your Savior. We're ready. We're prepared. Things are about to change. We don't. We know we struggle with our own sin and we still have those problems, but we will, because He doesn't. Certainly I, the Lord, do not change. That is why you, sons of Jacob, have not come to an end. Since the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of armies." God doesn't change. The Lord, I am, not I was, not I will be, I am. This is the God who simply does not change. And He reminds you and me that the reason things will change is because He doesn't. You and I can think of all kinds of times when we probably would have given up. If things are difficult and if people keep turning away from me, why bother? God could have simply thrown up His hands and said, they're not listening anyway. We keep turning away. But the Lord doesn't. He keeps turning toward us. Every promise is kept. Every promise is fulfilled. We look forward to that day when our Savior returns at the end of time and brings you and me, who are now His pure and refined children of God, to the glories of heaven. Those promises are not going to change. That gift of salvation is not going to go away. It's not going to wear out. It's not going to expire. Our Lord and our Savior simply doesn't change. And so when He says, I love you, and I forgive you, and I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to take care of you, that's what happens. Things are about to change. Not because of me, I don't. But we will, because He doesn't. So now get ready. Continue to prepare your hearts for the arrival of your Savior at Bethlehem and the arrival of your Savior at the end of time. Marvel at this amazing God who tells you that things are about to change. All that sin that would have kept you away from Him, that's gone. That's going away. He's changing you into His dear, beloved children. And because He doesn't change, there are no doubts that you will see the salvation of our God. Rejoice in those amazing changes that are going to be taking place. You are no longer a sinner, now you are a saint. You are no longer destined for hell, you are a citizen of heaven. All because of God.
Amen.